You are listening to Yo Teach, the Iowa Council of Teachers of English podcast, episode 3. Upcoming on this month's show, I talk to Molly Pierce about celebrating National Poetry Month and how she infuses poetry into her classes.
Allison Berryhill and Haley Malis share poems.
And of course, book talks, including a couple of poetry books to add to your collection. Hey everybody, Austin Hall here. As a member of the publications team of the ICTE Executive Board, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Yo Teach podcast. The podcast is produced every month for your enjoyment, and notes from each episode can be found at the online home for ICTE, www.iowaenglishteachers.org. Be sure to check out the website for all things ICTE. You can also follow our organization on Twitter at ICTE_board and find us on Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now, let's get to the show. One of my hopes for this podcast is being able to bring new voices in English education in Iowa to the forefront and to all of you guys, our membership of the Iowa Council of Teachers of English. And I'm happy to do that this month as I was able to get the chance to sit down with one of my brand new colleagues at Dowling Catholic High School, Molly Pierce. Molly Pierce has taught in Maine for the better part of 15 plus years. And this was her first year coming back to Iowa after being from Fort Dodge in her early years. Here's me getting the chance to sit down with colleague Molly Pierce and talk a little bit about poetry. All right, this is Austin Hall here with a person who is very special to me, our newest member of the English department here at Dowling Catholic High School. And someone I first thought of when I wanted to get into this April podcast, because as we all know, April is National Poetry Month, and that's something that Mrs. Pierce, I know, has a passion for and brings into her classroom. So first up, Molly, thank you for joining me.
You got it. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. As I said, you're new to our department. You're not necessarily new to Iowa, though, so I guess maybe I'll just sort of give you the floor if you want to kind of introduce yourself to your fellow ICTE membership and who you are and how the teaching's been going and what do you enjoy teaching, those types of things.
Great. So thank you so much for having me. This is a real pleasure. I love talking about the art of teaching and poetry, so this is a great, great month to talk about this. So I am new to Dowling Catholic this year and love it here. This is not my first year teaching. I have been teaching for 18 years now, and 16 of those have been, actually 18 of them have been in public school. The past 16 have been out at Kennebunk High School in Maine, where my husband and I have been living. We have two kids. And this year I'm fortunate enough to teach the freshman classes and two advanced 10 English classes. And that's really my sweet spot. I love teaching sophomores. But I have realized how much I love teaching freshmen this
awesome,
year too.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, but it's when you can channel their energy, man,
right.
They come, right?
When, right.
Right, exactly. So, but I really kind of love teaching any level. I've taught juniors and seniors the past 16 years, really. So just enjoying doing that. So a little bit of world lit, American lit, every type of writing and every text type, including poetry.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
Kind of Swiss Army knife, anything you take and enjoy, it sounds like. So you mentioned Maine and decision to come back to Iowa. I'm curious, I mean, it sounds like it's kind of a homecoming of sorts
right.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could speak a little bit about what it's been like coming back to Iowa, the decision behind the move, how you feel like you're getting reacquainted and all that stuff.
So, right. I mean, it does seem kind of out of the blue. And even just talking with people in the grocery store, like, you're from Maine. What's that? But I mean, the short story is I was born in Fort Dodge. Shout out to Fort Lauderdodge and all my people. up there, but we moved when I was just a little kid. I was probably 9. We moved out to Colorado, which really is where I kind of see my home, is Colorado. I grew up there. Didn't leave until I married my East Coast husband, thus living in Maine. We didn't leave till 2001. So essentially, it is kind of a homecoming, coming back to Iowa. And I have a lot of family out here. And just the wide open spaces. And my husband and I mean, we could have lived out in Maine for the next 40 years.
Sure.
It's awesome out there. It's beautiful.
Looks awesome.
Yeah. Just, I love my department out there, my friends, his family's out there too.
Sure.
But we were just really ready for something new. I hope this is okay to say, but we were literally standing in the Shire in New Zealand in the summer of 2015. And we both looked at each other and said, we could move here. I took a bunch of kids to different trips throughout the years.
Sure.
And that was one of the trips. And that just gradually grew into, well, what if we moved to Iowa? Which I know sounds crazy.
That's awesome.
And we were like, yeah, what if we moved to Iowa? That's, I think, where we're supposed to be. I think that's where we're kind of being called. And let's go to Iowa. So we started looking around. And I can't believe I got an interview at Dowling. And I work here. And it's wonderful. And so
it's great to have you.
Thanks. So that's kind of the journey as far as a homecoming. And it has been wonderful. Just the people are, that whole Iowa nice thing.
Right.
I mean, I really feel like Odysseus kind of coming home after 20 years, because I don't really know Iowa. I mean, mm-hmm. I was born here, but it is such an adventure. And we never came to the big city of Des Moines.
Right.
Because, I mean, that was just
a different
world.
Right?
Yeah. So this is just a new part of the world for me. And it's been really a good transition and a great department to work with. So.
No, that's great. And wonderful to hear that you feel like you're settling in.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
All that stuff. So, I mentioned at the top, obviously this podcast is for April.
Yep.
Hashtag NAPOMO, National Poetry Month,
yep.
Right? And so I know firsthand that you've already in your time with us sort of put poetry on the map a little bit for us in our department. So I wonder if maybe you could just speak a little bit about your passion for poetry in the classroom, how it finds its way in your classes, and some of your favorite lessons or activities or just poetry things.
Poetry things, right.
Mrs. Pierce has to work with in public.
Yes, yeah. Right. So I guess just personally, there is just a fire for poetry. I remember being a little girl and learning about Romeo and Juliet with my mom. And it would, the play would come on TV and we'd watch it together, and she'd cry, and it was just awkward, but wonderful. And I realized there was something to words. And my grandma Nita would read stories and poems to us too. So there's always a big language aspect growing up. And so, you know, being an English teacher, words just are part of you. And coming, you know, going from Maine with the ocean and the rich history of, you know, the Transcendentalists, and being able to go to Walden, which was an hour from my house.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know, really getting to know Boston and New York poets and Walt Whitman, and being able to go to these places that I had learned about growing up in Colorado was such a privilege and so amazing to just learn about Thoreau's Maine woods. And but it's been beautiful seeing the poetry in Iowa too, and just the wide open sunsets. And you know, I kind of think about Willa Cather and Maya Antonia but I had grown up with that too. My mom's
right.
love, my mom, my family's from Fort Dodge, and just the wide open fields and seeing the beauty. I mean, honestly, the sunsets and sunrises are poetry out here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's blocked by trees out
right.
out east. And it's just, it's poetry in motion. So it naturally, it lends to the classroom. And so some of my favorite lessons with poetry, the first one is the school-wide, the Poetry Out Loud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, if you're not involved in it, get involved in Poetry Out Loud. My old high school, you know, we had started doing it past 5 or 6 years, and just seeing like that kid that you had no idea have poetry interest come alive in the
right.
classroom. And it happens every year. These kids, you're like, where did that person come from? Where did that young man come from? Where did
right.
his voice come from? And it's powerful, and they make it their own. And so that has been a real privilege to be able to not to bring Poetry Out Loud to the school here, but just to bring that passion and talk about it, because English teachers tend to have that passion
right.
and bring it into their classrooms, and then the kids sign up and they do it, and it becomes this culture of poetry.
Oh, that's really cool. And yeah, providing that stage for kids who maybe didn't even realize that they had that passion or interest or talent.
Right, that talent. Yeah. Right. And so that is a real awesome kickoff in the fall. And I've already talked with another English teacher here, and we're thinking, oh man, we need to do our poetry unit in the fall to coincide mm-hmm. with Poetry Out Loud. Although it's fun to do poetry throughout the year, not just the big unit once.
Right.
So, you know, a couple of lessons, if I may.
Yeah.
That are really fun are, you know, just the weekly journal of, hey, freshman, hey, Honors 10, hey, AP Lit, whoever. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, practice really getting to know one or two techniques a week or whatever your lesson may warrant.
Sure.
But just the free writing of the poetry, the sharing of the poetry, the culture of the poetry in the classroom on a weekly basis can just be a wonderful resting place for kids, and also for us to hear our kids.
I know, that's the coolest thing, I think, is hearing that emotion come from students that you don't always get to see.
Right. Yeah. And just selfishly too, even just saying, okay kids, I'm going to write with you because I want to model with you, and then I have 20 minutes to write poetry.
Right. This is my modeling, my instructional
yes.
method.
And you're just
right?
like, let's yes. give each other 10 more minutes to write than you're writing yourself.
Right.
I love doing games, poetry games. There's one in particular, The Exquisite Corpse,
okay.
where it's a community poetry game. So you can do it with pods, you can do it with a whole class, but you might have one format. And one format I have done before is like, okay, everybody fold over your paper, and then just one line is you have to write an article, an adjective, a noun, a verb, an adjective, a noun.
Okay.
And have fun with language. It can be gobbledygook.
Right.
And then you're going to fold it over and pass it to the person on your right. And they have to do the same pattern.
Oh, cool.
Okay, and we're going to do it 10 times. And then let's volunteer and let's read the poems,
right.
in quotes, that come out, and read it really dramatically. And it's just so much fun to play with poetry. And mm-hmm. kids tend to, like, frame them or, you know, tweet them out.
Right,
Or just, you know, have a good time with it. And oftentimes they're just hilarious or really gross or inappropriate or amazing, you know.
Or all of the above.
Yeah, or all of them, yeah. And it's just like, look, you guys, you're not just an English class. You're a human, and you can have fun with language. And isn't that really
right.
what poetry is?
Right.
You know, so also a higher level lesson too. I feel like I'm talking a lot about
this. Oh, go for it. Yeah,
that's what a podcast
why you're here,
is.
Right?
So, you know, doing a pastiche too. So if say you're doing a poetry unit, and you know, you can scaffold this to the kids in front of you, but say a student is assigned a particular poet. Okay, well, we just did this with my Honors 10 kiddos. So say somebody is assigned Gwendolyn Brooks.
Sure.
So then you get to know that poet, you know, get to know who she is, where she came from, what her upbringing is, what's the context. And then you study 4, 5, 6 of her poems.
Hmm.
You can do this on a smaller scale too.
Yeah.
And you really dissect and you annotate and you figure out, well, what are her stylistics? What does she tend to use? Oh, she really likes a metaphor. Oh, she really likes playing with language with alliteration or free verse.
Right.
And you really study it. It's hard. And then you write your own. You know, you do a pastiche. You write your own Gwendolyn Brooks in the style of Gwendolyn Brooks.
Oh, that's cool.
A piece, right? And then if you want to go crazy, then you have them do a metacognitive writing.
Sure.
Okay, why and how is this a piece of Gwendolyn Brooks'
style?
Oh,
nice. No, that's cool.
So now you have to write about your writing, and their brains are just hurting.
Right.
And it's amazing. Right?
No, just, that's really cool.
I sucked all this energy out of you, but look at this energy that you've created. And then found poetry, too. I'm looking around your classroom. Yeah. I'm seeing the found poetry. Kids love that stuff. We love that mm-hmm. stuff. That's always really, really good.
Yeah, lessons. No, and it just sounds like there's a lot of things out there. Sometimes I feel like introducing poetry in a class can be really daunting or polarizing or all of these things. And it sounds like a lot of things of just getting kids to understand that poetry is not a one-size-fits-all mm-hmm. thing. There's not a one definition for what poetry is. And,
right.
And that type of thing. So,
yeah.
No, thank you for the great ideas on that, Molly.
Yeah.
That I'm already in my head thinking, oh, what am I going to... Not that I'm going to steal your stuff.
Hey,
but, you know.
We have to. Like, here, it's open door, you right. know, because you'll make it your own for the kids in front of you anyway.
Right. Right. In addition to all these awesome poetry techniques that you've talked about, Molly, I know you have to have some of your favorite poets, favorite poems. What are some of those go-to things that you love having in your class or even just personally?
Right. So I love using hip hop in the classroom.
Yes.
I just do. And, you know, being a 90s kid, I love doing, just going to lyrics with, you know, just the 90s artists and today and just everything, just pulling apart different literary devices with that. So I love doing a lot of just really fresh songs.
Right.
So it's not so scary in the classroom with them. And then you get into Shakespeare and then you get into the Odyssey and you can see this stuff is still being used and was used. So, and personally, I love using some of my favorite poems
right.
and poets. So I love to include wherever I can just writers that I love. So John Keats has always been my favorite poet.
Yeah.
Since high school with Miss Johnson, just learning about the Romantics, Blake and Keats, I get that is my safe space. That is like where I fall and just get lost in the Romantics. I love Seamus Heaney. I love Evan Boland. Just these Irish poets, a lot of like, I guess, kind of dead white guys. But you know what? That's the poetry.
There's still some good ones. There's good ones, right?
Yeah, exactly. So just a lot of poems. You know, of course, Shakespeare, too, just has been and is such an influence on what I teach. And it, you know.
Still relevant.
Very relevant. Yeah. Yeah, those are some of my favorite poets.
Well, thank you. I'll get you out of here pretty soon here, Molly. Obviously, we're in April now. We're marching towards your first full summer since you've been back here in Iowa. Anything you're really looking forward to or with the time that's coming up here after we cross that finish line here?
Right. First of all, I do have to say it has been wonderful. I've loved
awesome.
It. The kids have, I mean, it's funny how kids are kids are kids kind
right.
of wherever you go.
Right.
And so I've really enjoyed that. We are going to be going back to Maine for a couple of
weeks. Awesome. Cool.
And my family also goes to this campground in northern New York called Word of Life Campground. So we're going to go there for a week in July and then go back to Colorado, see some friends and family, and then gear up, get ready
all
for
school again. All the things get recharged, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just as soon as you start to wind down, we're winding back up.
I know.
It feels like so.
It's amazing. So.
Well, I'm happy personally and selfishly. I'm happy that things are going well for you because we're happy to have you here. But more than that, thank you for participating and being involved in our greater Iowa community of teachers. And I know you had a chance to come to the IECTE Fall Conference in the fall.
Yes.
And so thank you for continuing to validate and value our organization and giving back to our membership. So thank you very much, Molly.
Yes.
It's been a great couple minutes. It's been a great year.
Hope
you have a great April. And thank you.
Yeah. Happy Poetry Month.
Yeah. Hashtag NAPOMO. One of the things you heard Molly and me discussing in that segment was the fact that it's National Poetry Month. Poetry, like Twitter, so easily allows us to share short bits of text that can have a very wide reach and impact many. In an effort to facilitate this sharing of poetry, the Yo Teach question for April was, what's a favorite poem of yours?
I was recently reading a book by Ian McEwan, and there was a line that just really resonated for me. He said, God said, let there be pain, and then there was poetry, eventually. And I just love that line because I feel like the most powerful poems to me take the pain of human existence and somehow turn it into something beautiful. And I think that's why I'm drawn to really sad poems. And I can't say that this is my all-time favorite poem, but it is one I love, and I've thought of it time and again. It's called Dog's Death by John Updike. She must have been kicked unseen or brushed by a car. Too young to know much, she was beginning to learn to use the newspapers spread on the kitchen floor and to win, wetting there, the words, good dog, good dog. We thought her shy malaise was a shot reaction. the autopsy disclosed a rupture in her liver. As we teased her with play, blood was filling her skin, and her heart was learning to lie down forever. Monday morning, as the children were noisily fed and sent to school, she crawled beneath the youngest's bed. We found her twisted and limp, but still alive. In the car to the vet's, on my lap, she tried to bite my hand and died. I stroked her warm fur, and my wife called in a voice imperious with tears. Though surrounded by love that would have upheld her, nevertheless, she sank and stiffening disappeared. Back home, we found that in the night, her frame, drawing near to dissolution, had endured the shame of diarrhea and had dragged across the floor to a newspaper carelessly left there. Good dog.
My name is Haley Malis. I teach at Roosevelt High School in Des Moines, and one of my favorite poems is Walt Whitman's Song of Myself, particularly section 51. The past and present world, I have filled them, emptied them, and proceed to fill my next fold of the future. Listener up there, what have you to confide to me? Look in my face while I snuff the sidle of evening. Talk honestly. No one else hears you, and I stay only a minute longer. Do I contradict myself? Very well, then. I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes. I concentrate toward them that are nigh. I wait on the door slab. Who has done his day's work? Who will soonest be through with his supper? Who wishes to walk with me? Will you speak before I am gone? Will you prove already too late? So I love this poem for a number of reasons. I just think the connection to growing and changing and building bonds with people, that notion of walking and talking in the evening is really beautiful. And of course, I love the contradiction section. I contradict myself and I'm large, I contain multitudes, the idea that we're not stagnant but always growing and changing. And what a good thing that is. I think often we think of contradiction in a negative sense, but kind of pulls to mind Ralph Waldo Emerson for me, where, you know, he says, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. With consistency, a great soul has simply nothing to do. He may as well concern himself with his shadow on the wall. Speak what you think now in hard words, and tomorrow, speak what tomorrow thinks in hard words again, though it contradict everything you've said today. So you shall be sure to be misunderstood. Is it so bad then to be misunderstood? Pythagoras was misunderstood, and Socrates, and Jesus, and Luther, and Copernicus, and Galileo, and Newton, and every pure and wise spirit that ever took to flesh. To be great is to be misunderstood. So throughout many days, that line sort of seeps into my mind. And I just think it's a really beautiful poem and speaks to the complexity of who we are as people.
An obvious theme for this month's podcast has been National Poetry Month, and the first two books that I'm going to talk about definitely fit this theme. The first book is called Get Lit Rising, and it's written by Diane Luby Lane and the Get Lit Players. The Get Lit Players are 19 teenagers from Los Angeles who have inspired millions around the world through their spoken word poetry performances. Seriously, if you go to YouTube, type in Get Lit Players, you will find all sorts of high ratings and comments and reviews and views on YouTube from these teenagers' poetry performances. I first heard about this book in November of last year at the Allen Workshop held in Atlanta, Georgia, after the NCTE convention. Despite two full days of panels featuring greats of every corner of young adult literature, the loudest applause over those 2 days of the workshop, without question, came after we were graced with live spoken word performances from four teens featured in this book from the Get Lit Players. I know one of my biggest hurdles when it comes to bringing poetry into my classroom is trying to make it relevant to the teens in front of me. Flipping through the pages of this book, however, it will be impossible for teachers and students alike to ignore the relevancy of poetry in the lives of young people. Diane Luby Lane, the founder and executive director of the Get Lit Words Ignite organization, speaks to this in her introduction to the book. She says, "What is poetry, you ask? Poetry is a language of the soul. It is the way we express the things that can't be said. It is the truth escaping from our kneecaps and eyes and fingers, bursting out of our pores and our pens. It is the truth without filter or interference of mind, society, rightfulness, or appropriateness. It is what we feel and never say. It is a melding of all the feelings we had as children before we tucked those feelings away. It is who we were before our first hurts and who we've become since. It is the voice of our innermost selves without judgment. It is the friend we never thought we'd have. It is truth before grammar and structure in school. It is also the cultivated stream after grammar and structure in school. It is learning to take that wild, natural earthquake inside and shape it, share it, through precision, thought, and skill. It is a means to communicate secrets of the soul with others, a new language, a new way to bring what's wild into the world. Poetry is everywhere. It is the lines printed on coffee mugs, the chants of the playground, the poignant prayers of childhood, the songs we can't stop singing. I've watched poetry change lives. It has changed mine. Maybe it will change yours too." So each of the 19 teens featured in this book has their own chapter. This is sort of how each chapter is organized. It starts with a personal essay where the poet takes the reader into their private lives and reveals how they've used poetry to conquer their own personal, economical, and cultural challenges. Challenges that are not foreign to many of our own students. The poet then shares a classic poem that resonates with him or her, and then writes their own response poem. Each chapter also features reflection questions, writing prompts, and recommended classic poems for readers to claim for themselves. If introducing poetry into your classroom is something that brings you a bit of trepidation, or you simply want an opportunity to get lit with poetry, Get Lit Rising by Diane Luby Lane and the Get Lit Players is a must add to your collection. One of my favorite contemporary writers and poets is Kwame Alexander. The author of more than 20 books, including The Crossover, Booked, and The Playbook, and the recipient of the 2015 Newbery Medal, Alexander has an immense gift for making poetry relatable and impactful for all young people, particularly those most reluctant to embrace the art form. In his most recent book, Out of Wonder, Poems Celebrating Poets, he, along with fellow poets Chris Colderly and Marjorie Wentworth, presents original poems that pay homage and imitate the work of 20 beloved poets from around the world and across centuries. In my earlier interview with her, Molly Pierce discussed the idea of utilizing pastiche in the classroom, imitating the style of a particular poet or piece. This book is a great reminder of the interconnectedness of poetry and literature, that the very writers we admire and look up to have artists that serve as muses to inspire them. This sentiment is expressed by Kwame Alexander himself in his preface to this book. He writes, "A poem is a small but powerful thing. It has the power to reach inside of you, to ignite something in you, and to change you in ways you never imagined. There's a feeling of connection and communion with the author and the subject when we read a poem that articulates our deepest feelings. That connection can be a vehicle on the road to creativity and imagination. Poems can inspire us, in our classrooms and in our homes, to write our own journeys, to find our own voices." The title of this book, Out of Wonder, comes from a quote by renowned poet and children's book author Lucille Clifton. She wrote, "Poems come out of wonder, not out of knowing." Writers often struggle with the blank page. A clean slate can motivate, but it can also scare us. We are always in search of experiences that spark ideas for our poems and stories. Inspiration can also come from reading the work of other poets. Poems are not static objects.
They are ever-evolving ideas that speak to us in different ways at different times in our lives. I believe that by reading other poets, we can discover our own wonder. For me, poems have always been muses. The poems in this book pay tribute to the poets being celebrated by adopting their style, extending their ideas, and offering gratitude to their wisdom and inspiration. Enjoy the poems. We hope to use them as stepping stones to wonder, leading you to write, to read the works of the poets celebrated in this book, to seek out more about their lives and their work, or to simply read and explore more poetry. At the very least, maybe you can memorize one or two. We wonder how you will wonder. One of my favorite pieces from Out of Wonder is Alexander's original poem, Jazz Jive Jam, which celebrates Langston Hughes. On Saturday, my mama sang a song that sounded blue. Then Daddy made his trumpet cry. I guess the rent is due. Round midnight came a band of neighbors swinging soul to soul. The landlord even cut a rug and let the good times roll. They all ate Mama's waffles and her chicken cordon bleu. Then Daddy passed his hat around because the rent is due. Come Sunday, me and Mama kneeled while Deacon Willie prayed. When we got home, my daddy cheered. Hooray! The rent's been paid. This book is full of poems that, like this one, celebrate poetry in all of its diverse voices and forms. Do yourself and your students a favor. Get this book and invite your students to craft their own writing. Out of Wonder. The final book recommendation I have for you this month is called Disrupting Thinking, Why How We Read Matters by Kyleen Beers and Robert E. Probst. I've been a fan of the work of Kyleen and Bob for years. Many of you have likely read their recent and transformative books, Notice and Note and Reading Nonfiction. If you haven't, those are definite must reads. Many of you were probably at the ICTE Fall Conference a couple years ago where Kyleen and Bob were our keynote speakers. Anyway, their latest book, published at the beginning of this month, is called Disrupting Thinking, Why How We Read Matters. This book picks up where the previous two left off, and even goes a step further by discussing an ongoing problem, lack of student engagement with reading. With their trademark humor and practical approach, Beers and Probst share a vision of what reading in all grades could be, all based on the very best mix of research, their real-life work in classrooms, and unabashed straight talk about the complex world of education. I normally save my Reading a Professional or English Teacher books for the summer, but I simply couldn't wait with this one. With its sections on forming the types of readers they want, the framework they use for teaching reading, and their call for the changes we must embrace, there's plenty in here that I've already read and used in my classroom. On the back of the book, the authors are quoted as saying, "We need to recognize that reading ought to change us. Reading ought lead to thinking that is disrupting, that shakes us up, that makes us wonder, that challenges us. Such thinking sets us on a path to change, if not the world, then at least ourselves." In an environment where we are surrounded by fake news and obfuscating language, teaching our students to be reasonable, responsible, and compassionate readers is more important than ever. Disrupting Thinking provides a clear and practical framework to do just that. Get yourself a copy of this book and prepare to get disrupted. Thanks for listening to the Yo Teach podcast. I hope you enjoyed episode 3. Look for episode number 4 next month. If you enjoyed what you heard, please let us know by reaching out to us on Twitter at @ICTE_board, following our Facebook page, or commenting in our Facebook group. Also, be sure to bookmark our website, www.iowaenglishteachers.org, and check it out often. That's where you'll be able to find show notes from this month's episode that include all of the pertinent links and info. The podcast is written and produced by me, Austin Hall. Music for this episode from the Free Music Archive by BOPD, Little Glass Men, Dr. Turtle, and Broke for Free. Thanks also to Molly Pierce, Allison Berryhill, and Haley Malis for their contributions to this month's show. Thanks again, ICTE. Until next time, this has been your host, Austin Hall, signing off for Yo Teach, the official podcast of the Iowa Council of Teachers of English.